And so I'm excited about this year is we're going to focus on Jesus in so many ways. What we're going to start is very fundamental. It is very basic. And you might say, Wes, why are you even wasting time talking about this? Well, it's because it is the fundamental. What do we call ourselves? We call ourselves Christians, don't we? What does it mean to be a Christian? You can see the word Christ in there. What does it mean to be a Christian? Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. This is the first time we have the word used in our New Testament. And the Old Testament, for that matter. But there's a church in Antioch. And these people in Antioch, this is the place where Barnabas would be, and Saul at the time would have been, and several other teachers, Niger, and all these other teachers. There were plenty of teachers there. And these people, in Acts chapter 11, notice what is said about them in verse 26. And when they had found him, that Saul of Tarsus, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Who were called Christians? They were in Antioch, but what are they? The disciples were first called Christians. You hear me saying this all the time. I'm in the business of making disciples. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make disciples of Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple? Again, very basic, very fundamental, but it's something that we need to have in our mind what it is. And a disciple is a learner. It is a pupil. It's the understudy, if you will, of someone. It is someone who sits there and they learn from somebody. Who are we disciples of? Jesus. A Christian is a follower, is a learner, is a pupil of the Christ. And we got it easy, don't we? We know who the Christ is. We don't have just the Old Testament that was promising about a Christ, that was saying the Messiah was coming, the Holy One of God was coming. He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. We don't have to sit back and wait. He's come. And who is that? One of the most obvious passages is in Acts chapter 2. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. And you know this passage because we talk about Acts 2 all the time. Acts 2, again, is one of those fundamentals. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, after Peter has finished his sermon, he's been saying, Jesus, that you killed, God is raised. Jesus, that you killed, God is raised. And it was his plan all along to do that. Now, all of you should know, and here's the conclusion, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain, there's no doubt, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. That's who the Christ is. The Christ is Jesus who was crucified, but God raised him from the dead. We call ourselves Christians. Well, did Jesus say anything about disciples? Remember, did Jesus ever talk about disciples, about his learners, about his pupils? Remember, sometimes he said, a servant is not greater than his master, and neither a disciple greater than his teacher. Well, he said something about it. He also said something about going and making disciples. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. We know this as the Great Commission. And it's called the Great Commission because it's not limited to anyone. It is great in its expanse. It is open to everyone. And he told his disciples about, his apostles about making disciples. Look with me in verse 18 of Matthew 28. Remember, this is Jesus pretty much right before he ascends into heaven. He's been crucified. He's been raised, and about 40 days later or something like that, he says these statements. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. There's our learner, our pupil, of all the nations. There's everyone that's included. Go and do it of everyone. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. How were these disciples, how were these apostles, who were also disciples, they were followers of Jesus, but they're apostles, and I should have put this on the slide, the difference between a disciple and an apostle. An apostle is one who is sent. It is one who is commissioned to go. They've got a special task. That's our 12. He says to them, go make learners of you. Go make them followers of you, Paul, Peter, and John. No. What are they supposed to teach? Notice that again in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. They're to teach what Jesus wanted them to teach, and to follow and to learn from Jesus. Oh yeah, by the way, they got to baptize. You can't be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, if you aren't baptized into Jesus. As many have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3 would tell us. You can't be a disciple without doing what Jesus says. And that is part of it being baptized. And you can see that in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. Therefore, know for certain, verse 36, He is Lord in Christ. What shall we do? The house of Israel called out. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promises to you and to your children and to those who will fall off, as many as the Lord our God will call for. You know that. We talk about that all the time. But that's at the very heart of who we are. We are learners of Jesus. But when was the last time you really sat back and thought fresh about Jesus? We get in our minds who Jesus is. And we've got a concept of who I think Jesus is. And many of us have done this, and many in the world have this concept of Jesus. This concept of Jesus, Jesus is, man, he's just a great guy. He did all these miracles, man, he had all this power, he thinks he's a good guy. But what he says to do, if I like what he says, I'm going to follow it. If I don't like what he says, I'm not going to do it. Well, we fall into that trap sometimes. We may hold on to the majority of what Jesus says, and what Jesus tells us to do. We've got a couple things hanging over here that we're not ready to give up. We're going to talk about that when we get to our third section in the year. Of when it comes to Jesus and His teachings. The point is, we claim, if you claim to be a Christian, you are admitting that you are going to learn from Jesus. This year can be a year where you can sit down and you can re-examine Jesus. We're going to talk about that more in just a second. But spending the year with Jesus as disciples of Christ, we need to do a couple of things. But we've got to see who Jesus is. And so the way we've broken it down is we're going to be kind of spending kind of some sub-themes each quarter. We're going to have a main thing that we're going to be talking about each quarter when it turns into Jesus as we look at Jesus. So in the first quarter, so as in January, February, and March, me and Michael are going to be talking a lot about the nature and character of Jesus. When you think about someone's character, we think about who they are and what they do. So, like, I want to be talking about the patience of Jesus, because I'm a pretty impatient person. And so I need to sit back and see, how did Jesus do it? He's talking about some patience of Jesus. We'll also be talking about, Michael's going to talk about in a couple of weeks, about the deity of Jesus and what He emptied. He emptied Himself there according to Philippians 2. What did He empty? How did He give this thing up? Who is Jesus? Is He the Son of God? Is He the Son of man? Is He both of those things? Trying to figure out who Jesus is. Not who we want Him to be, but who He is. We'll be examining His nature and His character. We'll also be looking there in the second quarter. We'll be looking at the images and descriptions of Jesus. The Gospel of John is one of those places where we know those images right off the bat. We're going to look at one this morning. But I'll just remind you of a couple of them. Jesus will say, I am the light of the world. That is to give us a picture of what kind of His role is, what His purpose is. I am the light of the world. He say, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life, and I can give you life, spring up everlasting, and so forth. I am the resurrection. And in John chapter 8, I am. There's a lot of things that he says and he claims to be that are supposed to paint these mental pictures about him and his glory. We're going to look at that mainly from the Gospel of John in that second quarter. So be reading the Gospel of John if you want to do that. Get ready for that. In the third quarter, we'll be looking at things such as the callings and the teachings of Jesus. And so remember some of the things, and this is kind of the thought. Look at Luke chapter 9. That's just one of the easiest ones to point it out. Look at Luke chapter 9. I changed my mind. Matthew 12. At the end of Matthew 11, which is really what I want, sometimes I forget if it's the end of chapter 11 or if it's the end of chapter 12. But if I say 12, I can always go right back into 11 very easily. You'll remember this statement. Jesus says in verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jesus will say many times, "Whoever would follow me must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever would be my disciple must." And many times these are hard sayings. These are the difficult things that I'm going to have to do in my life if I want to be a learner of Jesus. That's quarter three. But notice here, let's just keep reading here, verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." There's our idea of being my disciple. Pupil, learn from me. Look at me. Follow me. "For I am gentle and lowly or humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." We'll be looking at those types of statements and expounding on them more. And then the fourth quarter, finally, we'll be talking about the suffering and the resurrection. I believe we'll even be having a gospel meeting in that quarter from a guy who teaches about evidences. And hopefully he's going to spend a lot of time on, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Did Jesus really get crucified? What kind of body was he raised in? And all those kind of things. We'll be talking about the suffering and the resurrection, even as it was told about in the Old Testament and prophesied about. That will be our quarter four as we wrap up the year. As you can see, man, there's a lot of material. And we're not going to be able to spend as much time on the things that you maybe want or the things that I maybe want. That's why we do it on your own. That's when we're Christians. It's not just this year that we can spend with Jesus. But it is this year where we're concentrating our teaching and our efforts on Jesus, the one whom we are to follow. So now that gets me to where I want you to play a part. Right? That's what me and Michael are going to be doing. We're going to be teaching them this stuff. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is going to be the remainder of our text this morning, except for one other passage. In John chapter 1, I want us to think about how the Gospel of John begins. The Gospel of John begins giving this praise of Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God," and we know about that. "And He was the light that was to come into the world." We jump off John with an image. The Word, the light, boom, we're there. Well, after he kind of gets through all these images and telling that Jesus brought grace and truth, but Moses brought the law and so forth, then we get into the narrative. We get into the story of Jesus. And it begins with John the Baptist. And it begins with people coming and asking John the Baptist a question in verse 19. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem saying, "Who are you?" Remember, John has many disciples. John has been baptizing people in water and he's got a lot of folks following. And so they send people to him saying, "Who are you?" Verse 20, "He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" That was their question. Are you the Christ? But I love the language, "he confessed." We think about a confession. confession is something that is negative. I did something wrong, so I got to confess it. Well, it's not wrong for him not to be the Christ. But he told the truth is the idea. He told the truth and said, I'm not the Christ. But then he tells us about the Christ. In verse 21, they said, well, then who are you? Are you Elijah? I'm not. Are you the prophet? No. And they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer. We got to go back and tell these people, who are you? Remember, they'll ask the same questions of Jesus. Jesus will say, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they'll go through all these same list of people. Who do you think he is? But notice verse 23. John says, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. He is the one who was there to prepare the way for the Lord. That's John's job. So that gets us to the next day. Notice your time in verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus. And he goes on in the verses previous, in verse 24 to 28, talking about, well, you baptize with water. He says, yeah. But the one who comes after me, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus saying, he's greater than I am. I'm not worthy to even untie the tong on his sandal. I'm not able to unloose his shoe. John was always saying, I'm less than him. And he'll say later, I must decrease and he must increase. John was always pointing to Jesus. And that gets us, as I said, to the next day, verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him. And he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So imagine you're out there, you're listening to John, you're part of the crowd, and up walks this guy. I wish the Bible gave us more description about what he looks like, but that's to your interpretation. Up walks this guy, picture him however you will, and John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What are you going to do? You've been following John. What are you supposed to do? Well, you go and follow. Well, that day we don't really get some, but we see that some will go. And he'll say, he's better than I am. Verse 35. Again, the next day. So this is day two. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. Now we're going to focus it in. Two of John's disciples, two of John's learners, his pupils, were there. And they looked at Jesus as he walked. There's Jesus again. Walks by and they look. And what does John say? Behold the Lamb of God. Is John trying to hold on to his crown? No, he's pointing to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak. And they followed Jesus. Who did they hear speak? These two followers, they heard John speak. Look at that in verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. They heard John say, that's him. And they followed Jesus. And Jesus notices that they are following him. And this is where I'm about to change your slide. They're following him, and Jesus says, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus is going to make a statement that is said by him here. It's going to be said by Philip later in this chapter. It's going to be said by the Samaritan woman. And notice what he says, look at verse 39 of what Jesus says. Come, and you will see. So they came. And they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. They asked Jesus, where are you staying? He said, come and see. Did they believe Jesus? These two disciples, one of them being Andrew, they believed Jesus. Absolutely. Where are you staying? Come and see. I get the feeling they wanted to get closer to Jesus. They wanted to get closer. They wanted to get intimate to him. They had more questions. They wanted to know more about him. They wanted to know his ins and his outs. But they already believed. I imagine that is 90 to 98% of us in this audience. You already believe in Jesus, but you just want to get closer. Come and see. Or maybe you're like one of the people that is found, and we just go down. Andrew goes, and notice what he does. He finds his brother, verse 41, and he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah, Christ." And what does he do? He brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "You're Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas." And so Peter follows him from that day. How did Peter get to Jesus? His brother brought him. He went and found him and said, "We found the Christ." And so his brother drug him. And Jesus said to him, "Hey, you're Peter? Oh, by the way, I'm going to call you Cephas. You're going to be, from now on, you are him." Well, that's how sometimes people get to him. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But then he finds another guy. Jesus finds somebody in verse 43. He finds Philip. So he went to Galilee, and there he found Philip. Sometimes you see this, and many times it's someone who is already following Jesus, but Jesus is wanting them to have a more special role. I'm not sure if Philip falls into that category at this time, but I get the impression he does. Jesus found Philip, and what does he say to him? "Follow me." So what do you think Philip's going to do? Follow Jesus. He goes and he follows Jesus. What do you think Philip's going to do? Philip has found the one he's been looking for. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to go tell somebody else. He's going to go tell his friend Nathanael. And notice that in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael. Andrew found Peter. Philip found Nathanael. And he said, "We found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." We found the one. We found him. And this gets us to our second statement. And you know Nathanael's response. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He is skeptical. Nothing good can come there. "I don't believe it." What does Philip say to him there in verse 46? "Come and see." Give Jesus a shot. If you're skeptical, give Jesus a shot and notice what Nathanael does. Jesus saw Nathanael, verse 47. He was willing to go. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me? I've never seen you before. I've never known you. How do you know me? How do you know about me?" And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." You ever had anybody do that to you before? "I know all about you, but no one has ever told me anything about you. I just know it. I saw you. I saw you. Oh, you were laying down. You were sleeping in these pajamas. And I saw you get out at this time." That'd be creepy. What does Nathanael say, right? Nathanael says, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." It has just been confirmed to him that what his buddy Philip was saying is true. By the way, do you see how many different titles of Jesus we have in this one chapter? They're everywhere. "You're the King of Israel. You are the Son of God. You're the one that Moses wrote about. He's the one greater than I. He's the light. He's the Word." It's there. Even though he was skeptical, he still went. And surprise, surprise, he believed in Jesus. That gets us to our third come and see in chapter 4. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Remember, this is our Samaritan woman, where Jesus is at the well there and shouldn't be talking to a woman, and he is. Definitely shouldn't be hanging out with a Samaritan, but he is, because Jesus is about reaching the lost, those who are sick and those who are in need of him. And he is there and he is talking to this woman. And remember, this is the time where he says, "Go and call your husband." And she says, "I don't have a husband." And he says, "You're right. You've had 5 husbands. And the one that you have isn't your husband." You know what she does? She goes to her village, right? And you remember this story. She goes to her village, but look down with me. I believe it's verse 29. She said, "Come see a man There's our phrase, come see. Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And they went out of the city and were coming to him. You know what she was at? She had been amazed by what Jesus had said. She had heard him speak, but yet there were still some questions in her mind. This can't be the Christ, can it? There is this little bit of doubt. She wants to believe, maybe, but there are these questions. And so she's like, y'all come with me. Just let's test it out together. And so you know what the people of the city did? They went out. And I love what it says about these people as they go out. Go down with me a little further in chapter 4, verse 39. They heard Jesus speak, and so many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the woman who testified, the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I've done. All some of them needed was this woman to say, this guy, Jesus, told me everything that I've ever done, and they believed him. But their belief grew. Notice this. Go to verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, and they were asking him to stay with them, they didn't want him to go, stay with us. He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed Jesus because of his word. Because what he spoke, they believed. And so the Samaritans were saying to him, verse 42, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed, and here's our new term, Savior of the world. Maybe that's you. You got some questions. You want to believe? Come listen. Come see. Come to Jesus with your questions and see what He's got to offer. They believe, not just because they were told about it, but because they read it, heard it for themselves. Give yourself that chance. There was another guy, we won't spend as much time talking about it, Thomas, who was a believer in Jesus. He was one of the 12. He was one of the closest. One of those who was sent. But he wasn't there after Jesus was raised. He wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them the night of His resurrection and put their hands in His side and felt all the nail holes. He wasn't there. And they were saying, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas says, unless I see the prince, unless I do this, I won't believe. You know what the Lord did? About 7 days later, 8 days later, the Lord appears to the disciples, and guess who's there? Thomas is there. And he took his hands, and I do want us to read what he says. Look there in John chapter 20. He says, put your hands in me. And so, of course, Thomas does it. He said to him, verse 28, my Lord and my God. You have to set up. And someone said this to me a long time ago, and I found this very helpful for me. If you're an unbeliever, you have to set up boundaries of what it will be that will convince you. Until you have set up some kind of boundary of if I see this, then I believe. Some people have set the boundary a little too big. I have to know everything about Jesus. I have to know everything. Well, is anyone ever going to know everything? You set the boundary. You're never going to be a believer. But if you say, if you will show me this, and you go right here and you look for it, you know what I've got confidence in? You'll be able to get that question answered. There will be something there. May not be the answer you want, so you may say, okay, fine. Come and see. Give it a shot. Jesus did not disappoint. He said, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe, which is us. That gets us to where belief comes, where faith comes. We know that in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the word of God. But remember where some of these people heard about Jesus. They heard about Jesus from others. John said, behold the Lamb of God, so Andrew and the other disciple followed. Simon heard about Jesus from Andrew, so he went. Philip was found by Jesus, but Philip went and told Nathanael, "We found him." That's pretty good. Also, the Samaritans. They were told about Jesus by the Samaritan woman. See the application right there for us? You believe in Jesus, go tell somebody about it. That's what I can do. That's what you can do. And some heard it directly from Jesus, as we said. Philip, the Samaritans, all of those Nathanaels. But their belief came from hearing about or from Jesus himself. And we got a vote right here. So, what can you do? We got to have that slide. So what can I do? What can you do? Right? Here's very simple. We get closer to Jesus. Don't think of this as this is the church item. This is a church planning issue. It is. But this is my year with Jesus. This has got to be personal. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Don't do it. You're just going to have to listen to us preach. But I'll tell you what, man. You grab the bull by the horns and come and see and give it a shot. Jesus won't disappoint you. Give it a chance. What can I do? Right? Michael preached a few weeks ago about prayer and meditation. That's one of the ways. There's a reading schedule, right? We had a reading schedule last year. We read the whole Bible in 10 months. That schedule's out there again for those of us who are wanting to do that. But I've also included in that reading schedule one chapter in the Gospels every day. I believe that every single one of us can read one chapter in the Gospel every day. I might be mistaken about that, but I don't think so. You can do it. Spend that time. Take 10 minutes of your day. Unless it's Luke 1 or 2, and it'll take you a little longer because those are longer chapters. Take 10, 15 minutes of your day. Just read about Jesus. You can do that on your time when you want to. But you can do that. Pray and meditate. Remember, Michael talked about the difference between those two things. But really think about what it is that you're reading, what it is that you're studying. Give thought to that kind of thing. Embrace it. Engulf yourself, as Paul will say to Timothy, immerse yourself in these things. Give yourself entirely to them. This is the hard one for me, practicing what I preach. When I read something, don't say, "Oh man, that's great. Man, old brother so-and-so needed to hear that one. I needed to hear that one." Don't turn a deaf ear when conscience gets pricked. Listen to it and follow Jesus. Come to the gospel meetings. We got one coming up, Friday the 11th, Saturday the 12th, and Sunday the 13th of January. That's going to be all about this stuff. Jeff Nelson's going to be talking all about that. Be here if you can on Friday night, on Saturday afternoon, on Sunday. Come be a part of it. And then as the sheet in the back, as you go out, James made some amazing flyers. I walked in this morning. These flyers in the back that tell you about when these little wrap-ups are going to be. Because at the end of each quarter, we're going to have a wrap-up sermon given by a young guy. Eddie Jenkins, not here today. He's going to be doing the first one. And then we're going to have some other young guys from the area come in and teach on some of these things. Be here for that. And we'll have a singing following that. Be here for those things. Secondly, come and invite others to come and see Jesus. If you believe that He is the Savior of the world, He is the King of the world, that He is Lord, that He is Christ, why are we hiding it from people? Just give them the opportunity to come and see Jesus. And thirdly, you got to do it with enthusiasm and certainty. You're not sure of, is that Jesus? Is He the Christ? Go with your certainty. Know for sure that Jesus is the Christ. And thirdly and finally, if you got questions, maybe you're the skeptic, maybe there are just some questions that you want to know better, come with your questions. Come to Michael, come to me, go to the Scriptures. That's where we're going to go. But we'll help you get there. Just go with open arms and open minds and give Jesus a chance. Maybe you already know about Jesus. Maybe you've been trying to decide, am I going to do what it takes to follow? Maybe you're ready to make that decision as we're about to begin a new year. You're ready. You knew that this morning. Or maybe you've made that decision. You realize, man, I really haven't been following Jesus. I haven't spent enough time with Jesus. Spend some time with Jesus this year and get your life right before. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, we'd ask you to come now.